All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
So when Trump was announcing his presidency, when he filed the paperwork, he had that huge thing at Mar-a-Largo, mm-hmm. Mar-a-Largo, whatever, in Florida. So I did watch that, and I did have problems with it,
even though
some things I agreed with, but there were other things where I'm like, that's not what happened, Mr. Trump. That's factually, that didn't happen at all. But anyways.
I mean, he's living in his own world. I think we all sort of know that he's in his mind somewhere else. However, my biggest worry is that DeSantis was going to go up and that the entire Republican Party was going to back him, that he was going to have no one running against him that was going to be a real contender, and that was going to be our downfall. That was my real concern. And I recognize that they're both monsters. However, I will take the monster I know over the monster I don't. And I promise you that if DeSantis got elected, that he would absolutely make gay marriage illegal immediately. And you can say goodbye to our abortion rights, like, immediately. He would try to make that like a federal thing. He is absolutely coming for our throats. So yes, I get that Trump's also on those wagons. However, he's more about himself than anything else. Yeah. So my hope is at this point that their two cult followings are going to be so busy shouting at each other that the votes will be divided on that side of the field and give the left some kind of chance to put someone up strong enough. I don't know who it's going to be at this point.
I have no idea.
I'm really not sure. Right now, I'm not feeling like Biden's going to run again. I was watching some of the news on the cruise ship when they were pulling in the votes for the House and the Senate. We were watching that. And happy that there was none of that bullshit red wave. However, listening to his press conference afterwards, I have to say, kind of painful to hear him public speaking at this point.
It is so embarrassing. It like makes me feel cringy for him. You know, when you're watching a shit show happen, you're like, oh god,
it's happening. Yes,
someone perfect let word. Him talk.
Cringy, yeah. Absolutely. So not feeling super confident that he's going to run again. I don't know if it's because of his health, but I'm just feeling like he's not ready and not strong enough to run again, unfortunately.
I don't think he has it in him to run again. And also, I don't think they're admitting it, but there has to be something wrong with him. Like, I don't know if it's Alzheimer's or dementia or something, but he
seems to be having a hard time. Yeah, he seems to just be having a very hard time getting through the speeches, asking reporters to repeat themselves. It's hard to watch. So I'm just hoping that the Dems at this point can put up a really strong contender. Let's pull something out of the back pocket and rally behind that. But the one thing that I sort of just saw as the silver lining to the Trump thing while everybody was crying about it was, okay, but at least now DeSantis is not going up there just as the sole runner unencumbered for the whole party to back him.
Yeah.
Now that will be split up with all the loonies can go running behind the two cult leaders and will be confused. Because they won't know what to do.
Polarized. Yeah.
So hopefully that will work in our favor. And that's the only thing I can hope for out of that. We'll see. We'll see where that goes. Other than that, what else is going on? I will say I watched something on Netflix recently, completely different for me. And I much enjoyed it, called The Wonder. And it was about a girl in Ireland who fasted supposedly for 4 months. And her town thought that it was a miracle, that she was like a saint or a martyr, whatever you want to call it, that it was this religious miracle. So a panel of men hire a nun and an English nurse to set watch over her for a certain amount of time to see if she's sneaking food or how it's happening, to sort of validate if this is truly a miracle. And it's a movie, so it's not a series. I just watched it in one go. Didn't know if I was going to like it, but the accents are not super heavy. It really not barely there at all. It goes quickly. I thought the acting was great. Really went in a direction I didn't think it was going to go. Not very religious at all. Very much about just how people hide things and what we have faith in and how we have faith in each other. It was really good. I recommend.
Interesting.
On Netflix. Yes.
I will have to watch that. I have been listening to a ton of podcasts, and there's one called Let's Read, and it's a whole thing on Reddit where people can post their stories. And so each episode will be a theme. And the most recent episode that I listened to was all about teachers and all the creepy things that either like a substitute teacher has done. It's like the simplest concept that he just reads literally the stories off of Reddit. But some of them are so either super relatable or shocking, or I'm sure it's a creepypasta and I don't know if it's real. But the guy's voice is really soothing.
Okay. And I like so it.
Even if they're really creepy stories, you can still like fall asleep to the podcast. And they're really long too. So if you're doing a project or something, the episodes are over an hour.
Ooh.
So if you, and you don't have to listen to them in order either, because each episode has its own.
They're just random stories that he's taken off of Reddit.
Stories.
I like
and
it.
It's kind of refreshing because every other podcast I listen to is true crime. So sometimes it's nice just to listen to something else. But it's pretty good. Yeah, it's called the Let's Read podcast.
I'm definitely going to put that on the list. I was going to say that it's a little bit sad to me, but I've reached this point where we've done this podcast long enough that I really can't listen to true crime podcasts anymore. I'm sorry say. I get so enmeshed in our own research that by the time I listen to podcasts, I want to listen to anything other than true crime. So I still watch a little bit of it on TV sometimes, but even that, I just really want a break from it because we do this so much. So I feel like we've reached the next level of podcasting. And I never understood that. I've heard other podcasters talk about this. When they get asked, oh, what's your favorite, you know, podcast, true crime podcast? And a lot of times I'll hear them say, oh, we don't really listen to true crime podcasts. And I always think to myself, how is that? But you love true crime. But now I get it.
I do too. So
it's just, yeah, we do it too much.
You get true crimed out. I don't know. Sometimes it's, I've either heard the story before or I know it's going to happen or...
It's just too much.
I just need something else. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, it's just too much. We're too busy researching our own stuff. And it's just too many stories coming at us. And it's just, I need like something else. I need a breather. I want something different. So yeah, I've reached that point. That's where we're at now. So There we go.
For today's episode, hopefully it is kind of a curve on what you would consider true crime. I think it is a crime, but it is a little bit different. It has to do with reality television. And did you bring your passport? I know you were just in Mexico, but you need your passport for this.
Okay, let's go. I love it.
It has to do with Japanese reality TV shows and how damaging they can be. But it's not just Japan. I mean, it happens in America. It happens in, I think, every country. There's reality television that is not exactly... I mean, do you remember the show Fear Factor?
Oh, my God. I couldn't. Watching those people try to, like, sit in boxes of bugs or eat gross cow brains, just, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, they basically are like, what's your top fear? And then they make you sit in a dark room with that fear. And then they just broadcast your turmoil on national television, which it's entertaining and they signed up for it, but it's super messed up. And so we can get into the story about the person that we're going to cover. So the sources for today's episode are obviously Wikipedia, NPR's This American Life, and a couple really good articles. One was by Letitia Joyner on, it was actually movieweb.com. But let's get into it. All right, so the history behind torturous Japanese reality TV shows is astonishing, to say the least. We have given Asia a reputation for televised cruelty. For example, Netflix's most streamed show to date, Squid Games, and also the series on ABC, I Survived, a Japanese Game Show, is far from the weird game shows like Candy or Not Candy, in which contestants must bite into random household objects to reveal whether is it chocolate or not.
Is that a real show?
Yeah.
Here in America?
Yeah, it's, I think they have something similar on Netflix too, where they have to pick which is cake or not cake.
Okay, I don't watch TV.
I know it's, but this is my problem with reality TV is this whole episode too.
Okay,
but obviously the TV shows demonstrate the dark side of Japanese media entertainment. So the Truman Show-esque reality TV show, it's called Susunu Denpa Shonen. And it's arguably one of the most horrific examples of reality TV. So the show ran from 1998 to 2002 on the Nippon TV network. And Susunu is known mostly for the extreme situations that each season's participants go through. And so it's usually actors or struggling comedians that go on the show for exposure, but they're placed in different sort of situations that involve trauma. And it gained huge viewership. And every season, they had different malicious approaches, usually like surviving a terrible horror movie, basically. So there was one season where two contestants were stranded on an island and had to make a raft, spending 4 months trying to escape in one season. Other contestants had to hitchhike from South Africa to Norway. And then one season even saw a contestant placed in a room with a TV to watch his favorite baseball team play every day. And if the team won, he would receive food. But if the team lost, he wouldn't eat and the electricity would be shut off in the room.
Oh, no. So
if the team would have a losing streak, that means the contestant would starve.
For how long?
Until the team won again. Like, that's how serious this TV show Susunu got. But the most famous season is what we're going to dive into. Is it followed the comedian Tomaki Hamatsu. He was from Fukushima, Japan, and he is better known now as Nasubi. And I'll tell you why in a second. After being selected to participate in the reality TV show, the aspiring comedian was faced with the challenge to stay alone, unclothed, in a tiny apartment secluded from the outside world with only piles and piles of magazines until he would win a combined 1 million yen, which is about 10,000 US dollars. He had to win it by regularly applying to various magazine sweepstakes. And he could survive on what he won from these mail-ins. Initially, painting the show as a unique experiment that may or may not air on television, producers convinced Nasubi to believe that he was self-recording his day-to-day experiences for further review, when in reality, his most confided moments were broadcast for the world to see and make fun of him for. So Tomoaki lived in front of the camera with the possessions that he won, and he could save for basic utilities such as running water, heat, and electricity. The stacks and postcards from the magazines and he also had, like, I guess, a little desk with just tons and tons of stamps and postcards and whatever materials he needed to enter the magazine sweepstakes. And due to his nudity, they used an eggplant graphic to cover his genitals. And when he was standing on camera, they would call him Nasubi, which is the Japanese word for eggplant. It also became his nickname because he has a long face. And they said it was shaped like an eggplant. So that's why the producers started calling him Nasubi. So I don't know if using this nickname during the podcast is kind, but I think he refers to himself with that name also, so I feel like it's okay. I don't know. It's not, I mean, nice.
It's not like they were calling him something terrible. It's just sort of weird. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's sort of like they just took something from the show and gave him that title. I don't think it would be any weirder than if they had put a smiley face there and then just started calling him Smiley Face. But it is sort of bizarre that he would just keep referring to himself like that. But go on, tell me what goes on. It's not going to go well.
So they would taunt him in different ways, like bringing a series of food delivery men with meals that were not intended for him. And this somehow managed to entice fans all around the country were like antics like this. The television show broke records, becoming the most watched Japanese history show with a total of 17 million viewers each Sunday night. That's a third of the U.S. population and doubled the ratings of Game of Thrones on HBO. So here's his real experience of what he went through. It began with the producers, like I said, they stripped him of all of his clothes and any supplies of food, as well as any mode of outside communication. For nearly a whole year, about 15 months actually, Nasubi lived in front of the camera with the possessions that he won from the sweepstakes and starving at first, but he managed to live off things like a bag of rice that he won or a large supply of dog food for extended periods of time. At first, with no food at all and only drinking water, he started losing weight. Eventually, he won some sugary drinks from a sweepstake entry, and later on, he won a bag of rice. But not having any pots or containers to cook it in, because he hasn't won it yet, he had to eat it raw. And then he devised a makeshift heating container with a discarded bag that he had, and he was able to cook the rice by placing it by the lit stove. However, canned kibble dog food became his primary food source for the time until he ran out of rice. After winning a stuffed toy in the sweepstakes, he carried on conversations with it like it's his sensei. So he would refer to the stuffed animal as his teacher. And in the article, it compared when Tom Hanks was on the show or on the movie Castaway. And he had Wilson, the volleyball.
Yeah. Aww.
That's kind of what it was like. It's very messed up. So that was his only sort of interaction, was him and the stuffed animals, and have it be recorded. He never won any clothing, and he could only ever wear ladies' underwear that was too small for him to use. And never did he win anything to trim his growing facial hair or fingernails. He also won prizes that were of little to no use to him, or like he would win a bicycle or movie tickets. But all of those things would require him to exit the apartment to utilize those things. So it was completely pointless for him to win those. So he did make do with some of the things that he did win, like the bicycle. He did turn into a stationary bike. And then he did win a television set, but was unable to use it at first because there was no cable or antenna to hook up the item in the apartment, which would be intentional by the producers out of fear he would discover he was already on TV. He would then win a PlayStation game, a train simulator. It's called Densha de Go, but they have a train simulator and like farming simulator. They have these games in the US too. Throughout the whole duration of the show, Nasubi assumed he was being recorded on his daily life, and it would be edited and then rebroadcasted at a later date. But what he didn't know was that his daily life was being live streamed, coupled with the silly sound effects mocking and making fun of him as he wept, screamed, and generally just went mad. He never won clothes and was displayed on TV with just the women's underwear that was given to him. By this time, the show had become so popular in Japanese households that people were starting to decipher the location of his flat. So with paparazzi, fans, and even press standing outside, without Nasubi knowing it, the producers were forced to procure a new space away from the original location. He was transported blindfold, and upon uncovering his eyes, he discovered a similar living space. So he never gave anyone the okay to move him, by the way. So they just moved him, and they told him that they moved him to this new address to bring him more luck. And as he continued to enter sweepstake entries, he did win some things, but they ended up moving him again because he had such a long streak of not winning anything. So here's what they did. He won a set of 4 car tires worth about 84,000 yen. So he was very close to his goal, which he finally achieved a bag of rice. And it had been 335 days that he's been in these two different apartments. And after being informed of this victory, he was given his clothes and blindfolded and taken to a surprise location. So they moved him again. Toamaki Hamatsu happily went along, believing he was going to get a special prize for his year of hard work. After they removed the blindfold, he found himself in South Korea. So they moved him from Japan to a completely different country.
What?
He was given a day at the amusement park where he was able to enjoy Korean food, ride on the park's multiple attractions. But after finishing the day at the park, he was taken to another apartment, and he was once again asked to take off his clothes and challenged to enter sweepstakes, this time to win enough money to afford a flight to Japan on Japan Airlines to return home. However, when Toamaki Hamatsu quickly met this goal after several weeks of entering competitions, The goal was revised multiple times by producers, first to afford a ticket in business class, then first class, and these goals were met in a matter of weeks. So he's working on these things in South Korea after being moved, and he became like an expert at these magazine entry forms, that he started winning them quicker and quicker. But after he would meet his goal, the producers were like, congratulations, now you have to do this. So they were basically keeping him hostage just because they were getting viewership.
Wow. Eventually, it's like a carrot on a string.
Exactly.
You can't reach it.
Yep. When he did win enough money to return to Japan, he was blindfolded, clothed, and taken to another apartment in Japan. When the blindfold was removed, he looked around and instinctively took his clothes off because he was expecting to continue the challenge. However, the walls of the apartment fell, and it really was an apartment. It was like an 8x8 box. So, I mean, apartment is a generous term. So the walls of the apartment fell to reveal that he was actually in a TV studio with a live audience. He was confused by this because he thought the show hadn't even been broadcast yet. Nasubi, confused by the whole situation and didn't understand millions of people were watching everything unfold for the past year and a half. As well, he was unaware the show even aired. The problem with Susunu Denpa and the shonen and the format of reality TV shows in general lies in the fascination of exploiting participants to simply draw in a massive amount of ratings. So in Nasubi's case, the mental and emotional trauma he suffered as viewers watched in amusement is, I guess, astonishing isn't the right word. Horrifying, maybe.
Yes.
Being stripped of your clothing, forced to eat dog food, no communication with the outside world, being degraded,
humiliated, yes. And mentally broken.
Where he's talking to stuffed animals. But we see similar brutality in shows like Survivor, Born in the Wild, Cheaters, many other TV shows, Fear Factor. But what's also important to note is Nasubi's physical and mental transition over time, because he lost so much weight and became nutritionally depleted. He was isolated for so long that his speech actually began to slow, significantly so much that he also engaged in conversations with people that were not there. He imagined the stuffed animals being his teachers. First, people think to preserve his sanity, but eventually, as its deterioration, it was as devastating as schizophrenia. So this is a quote from Nasubi. He said, "Everything was so harsh and every day was like hell back then. The hardest thing was not being able to see or talk with anyone. My mental condition was at its worst. I was like, why only me? Why do I have to do all these things? I'd rather die than feel like this. Although I seemed like I was having fun most of the time on the edited show, to me, I was full of pain." What's more revealing is the producer's inability to publicly say that he regrets being on the show. And they even downplayed his mental strain in his experiences, even in the live stream content.
That's all right. Cut that out.
While downplaying the mental strain these experiences had on the lives of contestants, who sometimes were even sexually abused in one instance, and one nearly died as a result of suffering from dehydration in another, he tries to explain his actions away by glorifying his work, noting that each experience was a miracle caught on film. No. I don't think so. I think no, that's absolutely just the producers. Not. Yeah.
I think he's sick.
I think so too.
That's just crazy. I don't know why he's allowed to do this. It seems like publicized human suffering. think it's an extreme.
It finally, the show Susunu Denpa Shonen ended up being canceled because the government ended up cracking down on shows involving explicit nature. Basically, anyone getting pleasure of watching people suffer is basically what they were trying to crack down on. And the strong audience fascination involving reality television programs and their components of torture. So finally, the government got involved, but they didn't get involved until like 2002. So this went on. This wasn't the only show. It happened in America also. But whether programs... where people are strapped to a lie detector and forced to reveal humiliating secrets, having to binge eat live bugs, or required to survive in the wild or alone, literally give birth to a child without doctors in the woods. The fact...
What show is that?
Born in the Wild.
What?
Yeah.
Where is this? Born on the
I did not look up Born. I've seen the show alone where people are forced to survive in the wild. And they don't have an end date. They just think they're competing with everyone else, but they don't know when everyone else gets like pulls the plug.
Oh my
so
God.
They can be out there for 8 months, a year and a half. And they're just living in the woods with their two tools they're allowed to have, and they have to build shelters and avoid bears and mountain lions. It's insane. It's on, I think it's on Netflix.
All right. Did he end up suing the producers, the company, anybody?
No, he did not end up suing anybody.
Holy shit.
He was able to keep everything he won. I don't think he wanted it.
What, the four tires?
I know, right?
The movie tickets?
Yeah, the expired movie tickets from a year ago. Yeah,
Holy shit.
He does do public speaking. He tried to get into comedy. I don't think it really worked out for him, but he still is... doing things in the public eye in Japan.
Wow. So I'd be real interested in knowing what his contract looked like before he went in.
I would too, because when you're... no one signs up to a reality show to be sexually abused.
Absolutely not. Or starved. Or taken to another country without your consent. Like, did they get his passport when they moved him around? Like, is that...
Yeah.
Did they human traffic him? I would want to charge them with human trafficking.
That's a hostage situation.
Yes. It's kidnapping.
It is kidnapping.
I mean, literally.
Yeah. But thank God the show isn't going on anymore. I think after Nasubi or Tomaki... it was too little too late when the government stepped in and like started canceling those TV shows, because it had already been going on for years. And I don't remember the show, but they started doing an American version where basically you get your ass kicked.
What?
Like, it's like a human gladiator, but they put on a helmet and then they're like, okay, go do this obstacle course. And people get hurt and they have to swim across a pool and do another obstacle. All the meanwhile, there's like a huge swinging arm. Like it's a padded arm knocking you back into the water. Like how are
Is
you
it like Wipeout? I've seen that one.
Yeah, Wipeout. But it's
but they make it look funny, and these people go across in like little life vests and padded helmets, and they jump across stuff. It's all padded stuff, but sure, you're gonna get hurt. You're gonna walk out of there bruised.
Yeah, people have like gotten a lot of damage.
I think that's a different. I think that there's different levels to this. I think there's like stuff like Fear Factor and Survivor. They're going in knowing that they're competing against something for money, a lot of money. and they can walk away. They know when they're on Survivor and Fear Factor that it's being filmed. Like, all of that's out on the table. Like, they know people are going to watch them freaking out or living in the wild, peeing on a bush or whatever they're doing. You know what I mean? They know when they're on The Bachelor that they're going to see them fucking around. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a certain level of, okay, this is what it is. And if you're going to buy into it, you're buying into it and you can't complain about it later. So I don't want to say that my sympathy stops, because I do think that it's terrible. And that's why I don't like to watch those shows. I was never into Survivor. Like I said, I never liked Fear Factor. I'm not a big reality TV person anyway, but definitely never got into like the Fear Factor thing. So I don't get it. I don't understand people putting themselves in these really just rigorous challenges and disgusting challenges for money. But people do what they want to do. And my feeling is that if you're a grown-up and you sign that contract, then you're going into it knowing that you're going into it, right? But this guy didn't know what he was getting into.
No one knows. I mean, they were keeping him hostage. It was 15 months. He was in like an 8x8 room. It was not an apartment.
Right. I mean, well, so here's the other thing is I'd like some more detail about, could he have walked away, especially early on before he really got broken? Because you could, you know, I understand that later on, he wouldn't have had the mental capacity to make those decisions. You haven't had food. You're isolated. Your mental capacity is just, you're not going to be able to make decisions anymore. But especially at the beginning, you know, 1 week in, I would have been like, let me out of this fucking room. I don't want to be in a room applying for magazine sweepstakes for my own food. Like, why would I agree to that in the first place?
And so, to eat dog food.
Right. It kind of confuses me about why you would let it get to that point. Like, was it to the point where you tried to walk out and there was a guard at the door who said, no, you can't leave because you've signed a contract. And if you leave, we're going to beat you up. Because then that's it, then absolutely you should be filing reports and suing them. Like, what's the deal? Or was it that you accepted it? And then, yes, I mean, I still think it's a crime and I still think he should have sued them. And I still think that everyone who produced that show is a sick asshole that made money off of human suffering. But early on, he should have walked away, because early on, he shouldn't have walked into it. Like, I just don't get signing up for it.
A lot of the actors and comedians wanting to get exposure, they would sign up to these TV shows thinking it would be like their big break.
I mean, I understand, but I just feel like first of all, going into it knowing that your only source of any kind of nourishment or your only source of anything is going to be what you win from magazines, I think is absolutely ludicrous. Like, that's not even a Survivor situation. At least in the wild, I can like forage for food. I can hunt for food. I can like make things. You put me in an apartment and all I have is envelopes and stamps. That sounds to me like a craziness, like a horror movie. Like, you've put me in a Saw movie. Like, that's, I'm going to die.
It is like a Saw movie, or it's like,
after a few days, I would have just walked out. I could not have handled that. I don't understand how after 3 or 4 days with absolutely zero human contact and no possibility of having food, I wouldn't have been able to stay there. I don't care about the exposure. I think that that's insane.
There was no evidence I found of him wanting to leave, asking to leave, or anyone checking in, like a doctor checking in, like on a lot of the Survivor reality shows. They have like a medic.
Right. Yeah. You know that they have the first aid people behind the camera.
And there was no evidence of that.
you know, they have a certain amount of, you know, in Survivor, they're together in a group. At least they're not alone. And even in right. shows like where they drop them alone in the woods to survive. Okay. But humans have been surviving in the wild for all of time. So, I mean, I don't yeah. mean to put it that way. It's still a terrible situation. But number one, you signed up for it. And number two, at least in the wild, you are where humans have always been. So yeah. you're at base level and it's going to be awful. But at least you have what humans have always had. But when you're locked in a room and you can't leave and your resource is to mail away to magazine catalogs,
mm-hmm.
that's just... How? And then you're eating dog food and uncooked rice because you don't have pots?
Yeah.
And you're talking to stuffed animals? No. I just can't imagine that he couldn't sue them afterwards. And I'm going to tell you something, because even when you sign contracts that have clauses in them, I know that you can sue people later on. I don't care what the hell you signed at the beginning. There's no way that you knew going into it that you are going to be broadcast wearing ladies' underwear eating dog food out of a can. So,
well, they were lying to him because yeah. he thought, like, there are YouTube, like, clips and things of his experience on the TV show.
Sure. Yeah.
And you can tell that he is just, like, you know, goofing off in front of the camera because he thinks he's just recording himself mm-hmm. like a diary, like a daily vlog, like a vlog, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
But it's literally Sunday night being televised everywhere.
Crazy.
There's no way that was in any contract anywhere.
I mean, so I'm wondering if it was somewhere in small print and he just didn't read it. But irregardless, there's no, yeah, I mean, think about it. Sometimes they'll hand you 20 stacks of paper. How many people do you know that read through contracts before they sign it?
And they're just like, sign here, here, and here.
Yeah. And they're like, you're going to be famous. This is going to be your big break. They make it sound awesome. And nobody sits and actually reads every paragraph. Stuff gets snuck in all the time. So mm-hmm. I wonder where in there they snuck in something that says we can do whatever the fuck we want. But I don't care. I still would have sued them to high heaven because there's no way that what they did wasn't outright abuse. It's impossible. It was just... The lengths they went to moving him around from apartment to apartment. And then that finale where they knocked down the walls after, like, he took his clothes off. Like, nobody stopped him to say, oh, wait, hold on a minute. Like,
yeah,
we got to show you something. Like, they just let him continue to degrade himself. And I mean, not that he degraded himself, but, like, embarrass himself for those ratings. It's just so sad.
It was so bad. It was really sad. Like,
it is sad.
The clip on YouTube, I believe, is where I saw it. But it's literally they put him in this, like, little room. And he is like, all right, I'm going to get down to business. He, like, took his clothes off. I don't know what the whole deal with him taking his clothes off.
He lost his mind at that point. I just yeah. think that at that point, he was completely out of it. He had just come back from an amusement park. He's thinking, like, okay, here we go. We're like round three, next apartment. He's completely disassociated from reality.
Yeah, and it's so sad. Like, it was uncomfortable to watch because as soon as the walls came down and he sees the lights in the studio, he looks like, this sounds so bad, but he looked like an animal that was caught.
Yeah,
like, and headlights. You shine, turn the light on and you see, like, a raccoon.
Yes.
Or, like, a cat. That's what he looked like. He did not know what the hell was going on at all.
As you were describing it, I was imagining him, like, looking out at the audience and, like, the utter confusion. Like, your brain would not process what is happening because you didn't even know it was being broadcast. Forget about the fact that the walls of the room just fell down. Like, how did that happen? Whoa. There's a live audience. And they're all laughing at you because you're naked. Just all of those pieces would not fit. Your brain would break. I cannot.
It does not compute.
No, right. Exactly. Does not compute. It sounds so horrible. There has to be just the most awful karma brought upon the people that conceived this, that made it happen, that facilitated this. Awful. And I mean, did the people who were watching the show know he was being tricked?
I don't think so.
Or did they just think that this was a reality show and he was participating in it and it was all willing? Like, I wonder how much the audiences knew. Not that it's okay, because I kind of question what kind of person you are if you're enjoying watching somebody eat dog food.
Do you remember the movie The Truman Show?
Yes, I love The Truman Show. I love Jim Carrey,
that's what it was like. It's like all these people were in on it and except watching him. So, yeah, it was like The Truman Show, which is a good movie. Everyone should go watch it.
It's an excellent movie. I love that movie. It's really, it'll mess with your mind. But yeah, I wonder how much the audience knew. And if the audience did know he was being tricked all along, that makes it even worse that the people were watching it. Like, shame on them for tuning in all the time.
They're just
awful.
As guilty.
It's, yes, pretty much. I think that makes them just as bad. It's like if you stood around and watched a car accident. It's like going to a hanging.
Yeah.
Are we not past this, people? It's going to a public execution. It's, why are we enjoying this? It's awful. That's so sad. Well,
yeah.
I definitely think that that's a crime. And if they don't pay for it in this version of their lives, may karma come back and get them in another place, because that's just awful.
Yeah, it's messed up. It makes you wonder, like, am I on a reality TV show right now?
Well, we're in a simulation. You know, somebody's just playing The Sims right now. And
I am. And there's that big green diamond over my head.
Absolutely. I mean, mine's not green anymore. It's definitely red. I'm tired. My Sim's going to pass out on the floor. But that's why I've never seen my neighbors bringing in groceries, because this is all a simulation.
That's so true. I mean,
100%.
I've never seen it.
I still haven't met you in person. I'm pretty sure you're a simulation, Stephanie. So the day we meet in person is when I maybe will believe this is not a video game. Until then, I'm pretty sure we're in the Matrix.
It is. Everything's ones and zeros.
That's it. Absolutely. And I'll tell you something. I'd rather stay asleep. When that guy was eating that steak and he said, ignorance is bliss, I'm 100% on that train. 100%.
Oh my God. Yep.
You mentioned raccoons, and not to make light of that, but just so that we end on a happy note, I would like to say that earlier today I sent you, I shared a live on TikTok. I'd like to recommend everyone on TikTok to go look up Taco the Raccoon. I don't know. Really? Yeah, I don't know how it ended up on my feed, but I'd like to thank the TikTok gods. All of a sudden on my feed, I saw a live video of a raccoon wrestling a wiener dog. And it made my day. And the little dog is named Vienna, kind of like a Vienna sausage.
Vienna and Taco.
And they love each other. At the end, they were like cuddling. But Taco the Raccoon and Vienna the sausage dog. But yeah, Taco the Raccoon is on TikTok, and you can go on TikTok and find Taco the Raccoon. Highly recommend. So that's a little light at the end of the day for us to.
I'm gonna definitely look that up. That is so funny, because I went to go look at that live and it was ended, or it was over.
Yeah,
but the algorithm knows, because there was this lady going to pick up a raccoon for snuggles. And it was this giant fat raccoon that was like the size of a dog. And she's like struggling to pick him up. And finally she does. And it's like the size of her torso.
Oh my God.
And he's got his little stick arms and legs. Just like, my mom's carrying me.
Yep, those little paws sticking out. I love it. I mean, they're just such little bandits. I mean, I get them all over my property at night. They're such little sneaky bastards, but they're so cute. So yeah, I watched it wrestle the dog. At first I was like, what is happening here? But then I realized that they love each other and they cuddle. And as they were wrestling, everybody was voting on who would win and cheering on Chaco and Vienna. And he put a poll up. So we were all watching to see who would win. Surprisingly, Vienna has quite the defensive moves. You'd be surprised for a wiener dog.
Way to go, Vienna.
Yeah, she's got the moves. So
that's funny.
That's all, folks. Don't go on reality TV shows. It's not worth it. Don't do that.
Because you'll end up in South Korea.
Please, yeah, that's not the way to go right now. I don't think anywhere on that side of the world is a good place right now. If you're bored, adopt a raccoon. Okay.
And make a live stream.
Yeah, make a live stream of a raccoon. That's the way to go, I think.
I think so, too. And if you want to send us your story about raccoons in Vienna. Yeah. No, it's Till Death Do Us Part podcast at gmail.com. And we're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And of course, the best ways you can support us are listening, liking, and reviewing.
Yeah, hello, all day long. Come on, guys. You know it. Share with your friends. Let them know.
And we do have the Facebook group up and running.
Yay. Yes.
Slowly things are moving over onto the Facebook group. It's just Till Death Do Us Part podcast on Facebook. And yeah, we'll be posting all the updates on there as well.
One day when Stephanie and I actually meet, we'll post that up on Facebook group as well. You guys will get
it's that. It's going to be so epic.
It will.
We have to plan that. We have to plan something soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe we'll get matching raccoon tattoos the first time we meet. Maybe we'll do
or
that.
No, I'll be Vienna and you be Taco.
All right. We'll plan that out. All right.
Amazing.
You have a good night.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Everyone, I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdouspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdouspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.